I want to welcome all of you here this evening to our third Lent service. I also want to welcome those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. As normal, we'll sing a number of songs before we enter into the Word tonight. Let's open with song number 86, and then we'll take some suggestions after that. I feel a little selfish choosing the first song. The song has a special meaning to me. 54 years ago today, I entered into the Air Force, and I took this song with me. It was etched in my memory, and I couldn't tell you how many times I sang this song with that knowledge that we have one who prays for us, who supports us in whatever situation we're in, and that's the blessing we have with our God. Someone else have a song? We have the 368. Okay. else has a song? We have our supplement, both supplements, I guess, the small pamphlet one from previous years.
How about number 91?
Number 91. Has a song.
Thank you.
Let's turn to the Lord in a word of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Father, we come before you in the name that has been given above every name, that name of your Son, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks, Father, that even tonight we can come together, that we can join together in fellowship, only because that Jesus worked that upon the cross, and his entire life as he came here, Gethsemane, the cross, resurrection, his ascension, for our benefit, so that today we can see the promises that you have made to your into the entire world from the very beginning, that promise of salvation, that promise of redemption. We thank you, Father, that you have drawn us here, that you have enabled us to once again sing these songs of praise, of thanksgiving, of songs that often look at this time of Lent to the suffering, to the reason for the suffering, because it was our sin that nailed him upon that cross. It was love that held him there. Love that continues to extend to all of humanity. And so we pray, Father, that as we gather tonight, that we would be strengthened in faith with that knowledge of your love, with the comfort of the gospel, and also with that infilling of the Spirit to be able to speak to others of this wonderful peace that you have secured in our hearts, this place of rest that you have established for us, that we have known the gospel, we have come before that great throne of grace and experienced the washing and the regeneration that his blood has done for us. And we pray, Father, that this message of the gospel would continue to go forth into this world, that it would reach out, that it would secure those that are struggling, the trials and the tribulations of this life. They are small compared to the internal anguish and pain that there is. And we pray, Father, that none would suffer in that day of judgment. We know, Father, that it is your will and purpose that those who would come to you would come through this message of the gospel here in time. And we pray, Father, that this gospel would be sent forth in full force. And now we ask, Father, that you would hear that prayer that Jesus himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Who else has a song?
My name's
187.
Thank you.
has a song. I should say a hymn or a song, right? These are the hymns and songs of Zion. I remember as a young boy and sitting in home services and just wishing I could speak out a number. There was a song that was on my heart, and now is the time and the opportunity.
Number 15 in the
Lent pamphlet. First, greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May it be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. That last song is a sermon in itself, isn't it? It is also one of my favorites. I have probably 1,000 favorites, and I think that's good. You know, I think music is retained as a way of etching things into our minds and into our hearts, and you know, that's a blessing that we have. I think sometimes for the young ones, the preaching of the word can get long, and you know, we understand that. We've all been there at that place, and yet it's a precious place. It's an important place because, you know, there's a seed that's being planted, isn't there, into the hearts and into the lives of each one of us as this word goes forth. You know, so, you know, pray for patience that God would give you the ability to be able to sit and to listen and hear what he would have you to hear. You know, sometimes the entire message isn't for everyone, as far as sometimes there's just a little bit of bits and pieces that reach out. But that's that seed that's planted there. And, you know, when the Spirit causes that seed to germinate, and when the Son of Righteousness causes that warmth to come upon that seed, you know, it's planted in fertile ground. And it rises up, and it is able to bring to you something that is eternal. The gift that God has given us through the gospel is that we hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, that's the blessing that we have, is this gospel message is declared unto us. You know, and the power that this word has. It speaks to us of the wideness of God's mercy. I love this song because it has, you know, in each line it has a message for us. The kindness of his justice, the liberty that he brings in Christ. And, you know, there's welcome for the sinner. More grace is for the good. You know, that's an interesting line because it speaks of, you know, those that are good. We're not good in ourselves, are we? It is Christ that has made us good. It is the gift of faith that brings us that goodness. You know, it brings us to a place where we can receive that mercy and that healing that is in his blood. You know, when God works in our hearts, it's a work of humility. It brings a submission unto his word. That's what being humble is being submissive. You know, and so often in this world today, we look at that as being something that is detrimental or contrary to human values, and yet it is of the greatest value that we could have, because when we look at Jesus, he was the ultimate servant. He was the suffering Savior that came to die for us. The love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind. You know, we're not going to understand this with our natural minds, but God is going to bring to us the mind of Christ. That meekness and that humility that he was comes through the gift of faith, to be able to trust the heart of the eternal. And if our love were but more simple, we should take him at his word, and our lives would be all sunshine in the sweetness of our Lord. We should take him at his word. Believe his word. That's what the word encourages us throughout. You know, it doesn't tell us to do. The law tells us to do. Faith says it's done. It has been accomplished for you. You can receive it today. There is no age limit on the gift of grace. Jesus took a little child and he said it in the midst of his disciples. And he said, of such is the kingdom of God. And so the simplicity of faith that we have is the marvelous gift that God supplies unto us to be able to receive what he has to offer. We're going to turn tonight to, it's a familiar portion of the scripture from the Old Testament. I'm going to read the 55th chapter of Isaiah. It's found on page 549 in the Pew Bible. I don't know if we could read this. I don't know, I consider it maybe the cornerstone chapter in the Old Testament, written some 500 years before Jesus was born. That's when Isaiah lived. And you know, he wrote to a people that, you know, he, I believe, foresaw were going to go into captivity. I don't know if he knew the full extent. He doesn't totally reveal that to us in his writings, but he speaks of redemption. He knew, and speaks of even the name of the king that would release the children of Israel from the Babylonian conflict. You know, can you imagine that 100 years before this prophet, this gospel writer of the Old Testament, he was able to define Cyrus as the king that would release his people. And he wasn't a Christian king. He wasn't a Jewish king. He was one who was outside of the kingdom that God had established. And yet God worked within his heart to be able to release the children of Israel back into their land, to bring redemption to them in a natural sense. Because out of that lineage that there was of the children of Israel, we have our Jesus, this one who has died for us and risen again, that we today can rejoice and give thanks unto him. So let's read this 55th chapter, and we'll read this in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a sign, for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. This prophet lived in the same type of time as us, difficult times. You know, there was a lot of challenges that the nation of Israel faced. They were at one time a very strong nation. We remember how David in his reign, he increased the borders, he expanded the borders of Israel to the point where they were a large kingdom. They fulfilled pretty much the promise that God had made in what they would occupy, and often to the many areas that are beyond the natural borders of Israel today. You know, and we know that the downfall of Israel was that they turned away from God. You know, they ceased to worship the one true God. They began to mix other religions and other idols into their worship. You know, they abandoned that which God had established for them. You know, and so I think that as we look at this, the words of the prophet, as we look at the Old Testament, you know, this isn't just law that the prophet Isaiah speaks of, is it? It's the pure gospel that he speaks here. He's speaking to a people that are in need of that gospel. You know, and I think at the time of Lent, I've often thought of Lent as being a time for the believer because, you know, we're focusing on our sin. We recognize that we're sinners and so on. And I think those are important examinations. And I think that's an individual thing that each one of us do. I know many traditions, as we have talked about before, have many different ways of expressing that outwardly. And I think I have no issue with someone expressing, you know, outwardly what, you know, God is working within their heart. You know, the difficulty becomes, you know, it was no different with the children of Israel. It's no different with believers today is the fact that we begin to worship those outward things, those things that not are established by God, but, you know, are intended to point unto where our true salvation is. You know, I think the blessing that we have is the scriptures always bring us back. And they bring us back and they notify us of where and what direction we're going if we're willing to hear. You know, and so this prophet Isaiah, as he has written this, he's speaking to a people that have been surrounded by enemies and that have had many reprieves. You know, the fact that if we go back to the very first chapter of Isaiah, he says, he talks to them very plainly. He says, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land and strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. He says, the daughter of Zion is like a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. You know, so he wasn't speaking to people that had, you know, everything they needed, and, you know, they were able to peacefully coexist with the world around them. You know, but the great thing that this prophet always focuses upon isn't those outward enemies. You know, sometimes they're easy to focus on because they're tangible, right? They're very real. But it's the sin that dwells within mankind. When that sin begins to bear rule over us, then the problems come. You know, and so this prophet, even in this first chapter, as he says here, he speaks to them about the issues that he says, when you come to appeal before me, who hath required this of your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies. I cannot away with, it is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You know, he's speaking to a people that have turned away from him. But listen to what he says next. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil out of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, he promises that if we as his people, if his people will turn, that he will supply unto us that great gift, that peace that comes in that knowledge that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. You know, and that's what the promise of the gospel brings. You know, so the prophet opens this 55th chapter when he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy, eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He's not just speaking to the unbeliever. He's speaking to us that we can return to this place, to this fountain that God has established for us, this throne of grace. It is continually before us. You know, that we can know that when even though our hearts were hardened at times, though we turned away from him, he continues to draw us back. He says, come, everyone that thirsteth. You know, to buy. You know, what does he talk? Buy without money and without price. You know, that's not something that's sold very well in this world, is it? Oh, we'd like to have it, but it just doesn't happen. There's a price to be paid for everything. Someone pays for everything that goes on in this world, whether it is the food or the raiment or the homes that we have. There's a price that is paid for it. But what we have in the gospel and what Christ has done for us, because that's what the gospel is, right? It points unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gives to us that knowledge of what grace is, that we can receive these things that are important. You know, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, milk in those days was a very rare commodity. It was not easily kept. You know, there wasn't refrigeration. Wine was their natural staple that they consumed. You know, water was precious in those days. You know, and so he says, why do you spend money for something which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. He says, I've got something far better than even the most precious gifts that you have here on earth. You know, we do consume things, even though things that aren't food. We consume many outward idols unto ourselves. You know, we take those things that, you know, they don't satisfy because they are like the natural food that we eat. How long does that last? It doesn't take many hours and it's moved out and done its work, right? Just a few hours we consume those natural things. Well, what does God bring? He brings to us that gift of eternal life, that gift of peace, of being able to be secure in a righteousness that is beyond ourselves. A righteousness, as we've read many times, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Not something for the future that we hope for, but something today, now, at this very moment. Today is a day of grace. Today, if you hear his voice, you know, this promise here that has been made, that we can incline our ear And we can come unto him here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You know, this is really a beautiful picture of how we share the gospel with those that are in the world around us. Because we can speak of the peace that God has established within our hearts. The knowledge that we're sinners in need of that grace. You know, the fact that we would admit that we are sinners before a world that is broken. That we also are broken people. But we have received this which God has established, which has been before the foundation of the world was laid. He has brought this to us that we can incline our ear and hear, and our souls can live this everlasting covenant, a covenant that's not broken, right? You know, the old covenant was a tainted covenant in the sense that it was not the thing itself. It pointed unto that which God would establish in Jesus Christ. It was a shadow of things to come. You know, and that's why this work of salvation is so important, because it establishes something that is eternal for us. He says, "Behold, I have given you for a witness to the given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." You know, the witness that he gave was that he walked upon this earth. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He came to bring to us this which we do not see in a natural way as a leader, right? When we think of a commander, we think of someone with all kinds of ribbons and so on, or up on a horse, or someone who has a lot of pomp and circumstance, as many of the kingdoms of this world have. You know, they have an outward show. This commander that we have, how do we describe him? We can go back a couple of chapters. Who's believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But, and when there's a but in the scriptures, pay attention, because this is what's following. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Can you imagine communicating that to someone who has suffered and who is in anguish with their sin? You know, that they can come to know this one, that Jesus Christ, this one that suffered and died for them, to know the power that the gospel brings in bringing peace, right? That's why we say God's peace when we greet one another. It isn't because it's some saying that, you know, we want to establish a, you know, the parameters of a kingdom that people would answer the same. No, it's because of what resides within our hearts, and that we pray would go unto each and every individual we would greet. We can communicate to the world, as this prophet says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, that's what we communicate to those that are don't believe or have not received this gospel. That this is for you. This is what Christ has done for you. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the gospel. This is what Christ brings to us. This is what brings peace. You know, when Philip met that eunuch there on that road, you know, he was reading from this prophet Isaiah. He says, what does it mean? Who is he talking about? He wasn't talking about Isaiah. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that this gospel brings to us. The one who is our leader and commander. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not thee, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. What did he say in the garden? Not my will, but thy will be done. He glorified his Father. Remember in his high priestly prayer in that 17th chapter of John, you know, how he pours out his heart, you know, for us. You know, he prays for us. You know, that song, you know, that Jesus prays for us, this gift that God has supplied to us through his Son. He occupies time that we occupy time so that we today can rejoice and give thanks unto him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. You know, once again, the call to not only the unbeliever, but, you know, to draw us to the Word, right? How important this Word is for us to meditate on, to read, and to sing. You know, the Word that is able to be brought forth in song. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. Why? For he will abundantly pardon. There's no one that God can't reach. Not a one. Let's pray that this gospel continues to go out. You know, there are so many that are broken and lost that don't even know that they're lost. How important for us to communicate that in our lives and in however means that God brings to us. You know, he doesn't give us any more tasks than he gives us the strength and the ability to bear and to go forward, to share, to speak of Jesus. We don't speak of ourselves. We don't speak of the wonderful works that we can do or have done. We speak of Jesus, of this one that has pardoned us, that has brought to us, because he will abundantly pardon. And then he tells us the reason. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. You know, this is entirely God's work and his promise. He simply asks us to be the vessels and, you know, the hands and feet here upon this earth. You know, we live here a brief time, and I think as we get older, we see how quickly this time has gone by. You know, when you're young, the days seem like, well, there's years ahead. As we get up into our elder years, so to speak, you know, those days, they pass so quickly. You know, we don't know how many days God has given to us or what witness he's going to call us to do, what we're going to face in this world. But we can look forward to those things which God has prepared for us. We don't need to fear those things. This prophet, he didn't fear those enemies in the nations around him. You know, he was the one that was part of the hierarchy there. Some think that he was perhaps royalty. There's no direct record of that, but his knowledge of the nations around him, you know, he was certainly involved in what we would call the politics that there is in the government of Israel, you know. But his constant pointing to where our source of salvation is, we can see in his heart what was rooted there. You know, that when that is rooted in our hearts, when we speak to others, that's going to be seen. That's going to be known. The peace that dwells within your heart is going to speak volumes to the world. Oh, that God would continue to allow that message to go forth. You know, we don't know who God is calling. We don't, you know, we pray and we would desire that all men would come, right? That's what God's will is, his desire that all men would come to know the gospel. God is willing that none would perish, is what Peter says. And oh, that we might continue to see that gospel message go forth. You know, as he uses the natural example here of the rain and, you know, of the things that we eat. He says, "This is so shall my word be." He's going to supply. As he gives bread to the seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall his word supply and go forth. It'll prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. And he says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." You know, that's today. That's not some future. You know, there's so many look at, we talked about the millennium at men's Bible study, you know, and so many look to the future. Well, this is going to happen. It's going to get better. We have the best that there is right now. Today is the day of grace. Today is what God has established for us to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel. Your sins are forgiven, dear brother and sister. They're forgiven. Why? Because Christ died for you. He shed his blood. Because his name is the name above every name, that every knee will bow. We can receive that here and now, can't we? Isn't that the blessing that we have as believers? That's why we sing these songs of praise and of thanksgiving. Because we have received God's promise. We have received, by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ and the fullness of the gospel. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I love those words. God will not cut it off. His part is sure and absolute. God's promises are never maybe. They are yes. They are for you. They are that promise that, you know, we don't know where our next, where our bread is coming from. Perhaps, you know, we struggle at times to, you know, with the things, wondering what's going to happen. When we lay hold of this gospel message, it is now, it is sure, it is yours. There is no doubt, because Christ has secured it. You know, this promise that he made, I'm going to close with a few verses from this 61st chapter. Here's what Jesus came to preach to us. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. To him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer and in benediction. Gracious Father, we thank you again for this word that is eternal, that continues to supply, that well that never runs dry, and that bread that continues to flow, even as you fed the children of Israel there in the wilderness, Father. You feed us today, and we thank you that you have given to us that which is necessary. But most of all, you have given unto us that which is important, that we can believe in that work of redemption, that work of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone have a song for closing? Lent pamphlet number 10. Thank you.